Welcome to the WP Tonic This Week in WordPress and SaaS podcast, where Jonathan Denwood interviews the leading experts in WordPress, e-learning, and online marketing to help WordPress professionals launch their own SaaS.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic show this week in WordPress and SaaS. We've got a great interview. We've got Ben with us, Ben Pines, lead at Animator. We're going to be discussing all things Animator, what they're up to, what are they planning, world domination. Are they going to be doing some more great YouTube videos? Very hilarious, brought great memories back to me. It should be a great discussion. So, Ben, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the tribe?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Ben. I've been in marketing for, I think, about 18 years. I joined Elementor actually as the first marketer, kind of the second employee back in 2016. And I developed alongside with the company. I was the head of content for a few years. Then I left 2 years ago to work in an AI company. And now I'm back.
Oh, you're back. He's back. And I've got my patient and great co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Absolutely. Kurt von Annen, owner of Mañana No Más. We focus largely on membership and learning websites. Also work directly with WP Tonic and the great team at Lifter LMS.
It's fantastic. We've got a great set of questions we're going to be asking. Where is Animator? Has it got a bit lost, or has it found its way again? Was it ever lost, or is it just my imagination? Got a great set of questions. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of the show, I've got a couple messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
Hi there, tribe, it's Jonathan here, and I want to tell you about OmenSend. OmenSend is a great plugin that delivers SMS messaging and email messaging to your clients. If you're building a woo solution for your client and you're looking to provide a SMS functionality for them and great email, why don't you look at OmenSend? Got a great special deal. You can go to wp-tonic.com/deals, and they're offering 30% off the first 3 months. Plus, if you need any technical help or a migration, they're offering almost $1,000 to help migrate if you've got a group of clients that are looking for this type of service. It's a great offer. They're a great company. I highly recommend them to you. So, like I say, go over to the deals page on the WP Tonic website and you'll find more details there. Speak to you soon, folks. Bye. I'm coming back, folks. Just want to point out, got a couple great offers from the major sponsors, plus a created list of the best WordPress plugins and services that will save you a load of time. The WordPress professional. What more could you ask for? To get all these goodies, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. Ben's already got his pen out. He's ready to go there to get the deals.
Always
up for a deal. So go over there and feast. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but as a WordPress professional, you're used to being disappointed. So there we go. All right. So off we go. So, Ben, this is only from my mind, so it's not saying too much. I think it's really tricky
when you've got an established product like Elementor, and I did a quick Google and it seems to be driving between 4 to 5 million websites. I just personally felt that it was losing its way slightly. But it's tricky to, when you've got such a broad product, it's easy at the beginning because you're not driving over 4 million websites. So first of all, would you agree with anything I've just outlined, or B, would you say that I'm just talking dribble, actually, Ben? Which wouldn't be surprising.
Well, I have a lot to say about it. Like, Elementor is now powering over 10% of the internet, according to W3Tech. And there's no creature like it, I think. That's the truth. Like, we started as a small 5-person company with a small plugin, and it grew and grew because we offered a solution that people loved. And now it's an invaluable tool to, you know, I talk to users all the time. Even when I worked in another company, I interviewed developers, and they all mentioned how much they loved it and found it useful. So now it serves such a huge audience, and it changed along the way. And I think for the last, so Elementor is alive for 8 years. And the last 6 years, I think they've been saying the same thing, that it's lost its way, but it's ever changing and ever growing and improving its way. That's why I came back to the company. And I think nowadays we're doing amazing things, like a lot more than just a page builder, not just the design of page, but the hosting and a set of products, the image optimizer that I'm now promoting, the AI products. So it's kind of offering a lot more solutions for the professional and for the everyday user. So I still believe in the vision and where it's headed.
Well, you know, I'm just going to throw it over to Kurt. Over to you.
Well, it's kind of a follow-up to the first question, Ben, and that is, you know, we were saying, is it slightly confused to the target audience and things like that? And I'll be honest, I was a late adopter to Elementor, and then I became truly dependent upon Elementor, right? It became one of those things as an agency where I was able to kick out product pretty quickly using Elementor. But then, if I'm going to be transparent, I kind of ran into a maintenance issue with Elementor because I was having, you know, different critical errors during the update process or something like that. And if it's one site, you can work around it and do rollbacks and stuff. But if it's 10, 15 sites, well, now you've got a nightmare. Who do you consider the real target audience for the Elementor product? Is it, I mean, if you had to pick the perfect avatar, what would that perfect avatar be? And who is Elementor driving towards?
So, as a big company that powers a lot of websites, we have to have few personas. We can't have just one. So we have to cater for beginner users and professionals that just need their website up. But I think the thing that is leading the vision is always the professional, the agency, people who do it for a living, the web creator, that need professional tools. And since day one, this was the goal, not to compromise and to offer a solution that gives you the top-notch design, the uncompromised design and performance and everything a developer and a professional designer needs. And that's a much harder task to fulfill, a much harder vision to accomplish than just, serving like the beginners that just need a page up. So I'm not saying it. Of course, we have to cater for beginners and newbies because it's part of the people who pay us and rely on us. But definitely what steers the ship is the web creator, the professional.
Thanks. Thanks. And that kind of leads into the next question, which was really centered on Elementor's kind of extra focus, or I shouldn't say extra focus. That's up to you to say, I guess. But from going from a page builder to having fully hosted page and fully hosted web building experiences, has there been, would you say, benefits or like consequences to kind of spreading out that focus?
Well, it serves the same purpose. So a professional, an agency, or even a beginner, they want to have their website up. And they want to have a successful website that brings them success and business success and appearance online. So in the beginning, it was just the editing, the building part. But as the company progressed, we need to offer a wider scope, because we were able to offer a higher level of service in those areas of hosting, in terms of the performance, in terms of the overall experience. So if you are building a site, but then you need to do some maintenance, or you need to change something in the cPanel, and you start going to hosting, and you see that the service is not always similar, like it's not always what you'd expect. So offering the same kind of seamless experience you get from Elementor in your hosting and in the product that I develop right now, even in image optimization, that you just set it and forget it, and you can have all your site page load fast and with AI. It's just a broader spectrum, and it's not a deviation. I mean, it's a bigger company now, so we're able to have a few teams. That's what most companies of that size are. That's the advantage of having a large company. You can actually have a full solution.
Excellent. Jonathan, over to you.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from, and I don't plan for this show to be a bashing center for Elementor, because there's no need for that. It's a fantastic product. I'm more interested because I think it's tricky. I think it's tricky where Elementor is. And what do I mean by tricky? Well, you know, you've just, as you stated, totally logical to have a hosted solution. You've highlighted some very logical reasons, but the obvious problem with it, I wouldn't say a problem, that's not the correct word, but I'm only going to state the obvious. The thing is, if you become a Wix, and there's nothing wrong in becoming a Wix, but that isn't really WordPress either, because if you don't want WordPress, you can go to Wix or Squarespace. But you're in the middle. You got like one foot in both camps. You're kind of traditional WordPress, but also you provided this hosting solution, your own. I don't know if there was a lot of debate about going those two routes and ongoing discussion about how you deal with the natural contradictions of those two approaches, if you think there are any contradictions.
I think the real question is the user perspective. So nowadays, if you think about it, the user has a few options. Okay, they can go to Wix or Webflow or Squarespace, that I think now has been acquired, or WordPress.com, which is also WordPress, but hosting. And or they can go to one of the hosting providers. And some of them are great, but very expensive. And some of them are very cheap, but not so good. You get a bad experience. So is there, the question I think is there a need in the market for something better? Now, supposedly that's the promise that we give, and then we need to deliver it. And I can tell you that it is getting better, the solution, but there's definitely a need. There's no question that there is frustration among users that they are running their site or building a site with Elementor. Suddenly they need to do something. They need to migrate. They need to set something up with their email on their host. You know, some hosting, they even block their email. You can't send email because the SMTP is blocked. And so there are so many problems that the user faces. So that's how business works. We see that, and then we see we can offer the solution, and if we can, and we are able to charge, so it's a sustainable business, then it's kind of a win-win. Now, it all depends on whether we can offer something that others don't. And, I've talked to, customers of Wix and Shopify and Webflow. And I know the frustration there. And I know, even the numbers that they're, sometimes, users have to pay there. Because they're basically, hijacked. They have their site and everything, and they can't transfer. So it's a closed system. I think there's a lot we can offer there that can change the market and can do a lot good.
Yeah, I follow it. Because, like I say, I think it'd be the third time I've said it in this interview. It's tricky. I'm not saying that anything that Elementor are trying to attempt or always doing is in any shape or form not right or utilize that language. It's just business. But I think it's really tricky. I think there's a lot of people, it's finding that sweet spot where you kind of offer the reliability and stability of a SaaS product, but you got the other foot in where you've got the flexibility and choice, but you've also, it's slightly more of a Wild West platform where you self-hosted. I just think it's all very tricky. But what has led your decision to come back and have another go at all of this?
Yeah, when I left, I was kind of, I started in 2016. So I was a long time in the company, and I felt like I didn't want to just be, Ben from Elementor. I wanted to do something else. And I did. And I was, fortunate to be in a great AI company. It even start kind of my, a new brand, talking about AI and writing and a lot of the things I did. And then I decided to come back because I met with the founder and with Yoni, the founder, and saw the change that was happening with the company and the new product lines and the opportunity that it's kind of like the opportunity to get back to building new products again because we have new lines of products. So that's where I wanted to hop on the ship again and get back to the company.
Right. I think the other area which kind of people, I think Kirk has touched upon it about some of his frustrations with updates. I think they've been shared, but I think the other area that Elementor has been consistently criticized is the code quality that it produces. So I know, which is okay, isn't it? Because Elementor was a very unique product when it initially, technology moves on, doesn't it? At the time, it was a very unique product and it attempted to do something very effectively, where it was competing, it was clearly the leader. But there's obviously a technology baggage by being, as time passes. So do you see that, is that something that's discussed? And how, because you got all the legacy, you got all the history, and you got technology moving ever forward. How does Animator internally deal with that contradiction in a way?
So if you've been following the latest releases, then there were a few releases that had to deal with performance and improving the performance and speed of the plugin. So we are always trying to find ways to be better. And, you know, legacy does have a downside, but it also has an upside where you can have, you can rely on it. You don't, sometimes the, you know, you get, the newcomer and it's very alluring. But if you're building a website, you're probably building it for it to last and for it to upgrade and for it to develop and to be able to build upon it. So that's kind of also, we're trying to see how we're doing both of these areas. So it will continue to develop. Listen, we just, like in the last year, we added the AI, which is a totally new way to build sections and containers. And so I do think that like there is a way to innovate and to change and to make something new. But I think there's a lot more value with this. I think rarely does a site succeed because you know, because the code was the best. That's the truth. Site succeeds not just because of it. It succeeds because of the design, because of the functionality, because of the how it's planned and invested on. So I think sometimes there's what you call over optimization, where people kind of tunnel vision and think about matters of code. I know a lot of high volume, high traffic e-commerce sites and brand sites that are generating, you know, hundreds of thousands of visits a month and are able to scale with Elementor. So the proof is in the pudding in the sites that are running, in the complex sites that are running Elementor and doing it successfully, I think.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from, and in some ways I agree with you. I just think, like I say, I think this is a kind of grey area, because the type of people that listen to this particular show, kind of WordPress professionals, a lot of them are driven by accessibility code standards. I do agree with you. I think to some degree it can be overdriven. But have you, because you got this whole, like you say, you're running 10% of the internet, so you've got a huge, diverse group of people who, for understandable reasons, have very diverse needs and wants. Have you thought about doing what kind of Wix is doing? You have a kind of professional tool. You know, you got Wix, they're trying to establish Wix Studio, aren't they? And then you got normal Wix. Is that something you've considered, to have a kind of professional level product that's separate from the main one?
I think the problem is that Wix started in the beginning only targeted towards the newbies. And we always wanted the balance where it's visual on the one hand, but also generates clean code. Since I joined 2 months ago, and I focused on the image optimizer, so I talked to a lot of agencies, and I even made some use cases. And you'd be surprised that, you know, just by using simple plugin for image optimization, you're actually able to reduce the what you usually think is the code and everything. It's just could be just large images. So one story was a site that was 1.5 gigabytes and was reduced to a fraction of that, and the page load speed just jumped. So there are some quick solutions that you can implement very fast that can improve. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to address it otherwise with jumping into changing the platform or doing something radical.
Well, the whole thing, you know, it's all fragmented, isn't it? Because it's only a small subsection of the professional WordPress user base that even listen to a professionally focused podcast. The bulk of graphic or web agencies, they utilize WordPress or Elementor, but they would never subscribe to a WordPress podcast, would they? They wouldn't even think about it, would they? So it's kind of tribe in a tribe in a tribe, isn't it?
Well, you know, building a site, you know, the successful agencies, they are able to focus on not just, like we said, not just zoom into the technical stuff, but see a broader picture of what is the tech stack that I'm bringing. What is the process that I'm bringing? How am I educating my clients to use the tools correctly and not ruin the site after I've handed it over? And I think part of it is also being in touch with the community, listening to podcasts and being up to date. So when you see something new, a new way, you're kind of improving the business as you go. But it's hard to do, you know. It's not easy to build a business, to build a website. You need to put it on, you need to focus on the business side. You need to have the client relations. You need to focus on the coding side, high design standards. Juggling all that, it takes a lot of thinking. It's not just, okay, I'm just going to find the fastest solution, the trendiest solution, and everything will be gravy. No, it's a lot of hard work. So that's the downside. The good side is that if you manage to do it, then you get a lot of success because, you know, these are the outlier agencies that are just doing great.
Right, yeah, I think we're going for our mid-break, folks. We're delving, we're interrogating, we're probing, getting the tools of the trade out, but I think it's been a great discussion so far. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a dive into the world of Elementor and their plans for world domination. There we go. Before we go into the second part of the show, just want to point out we've got a great Facebook group. It's called the Membership Machine Show Group on Facebook. It's all about WordPress and membership and community. It's a great mixture of entrepreneurs and WordPress professionals. So go over there and join that. We'd love you to be part of the conversation. Over to you, Kurt.
Thanks. Ben, coming on here as the marketing expert, and you have, you know, obviously the chops to have this talk. For people that are listening to the show, what's like, describe the main difference between content and product marketing? Because it's obvious some of the clients we talk to at WP Tonic are confused about the subject as well. So if you could kind of enlighten us from a pro's perspective, that might help the people that are listening.
Yeah, so I was the head of content at Elementor and at the previous company I worked with. So I've been in content for years, you know, and there is a huge difference. So recently I decided to get back to the product marketing and do the jump to product marketing. And there are some similarities, and the similarities are important because you might feel a bit, you know, low confidence in doing this move. And the similarities is really, both sides, you need to really think about the client, the person you're writing to, and it's a lot like both professions are like a bit like journalism. You're trying to investigate, you're trying to research and find something that will be valuable, that people will connect with. Okay, so there are similarities, and I think there is logic to do this transition. Product marketing is a lot broader. So you need to make a lot more decisions, and they're a lot more varied, because in content, it's a very kind of narrow road. You know the topic you're writing about. You kind of know how you're going to investigate. You know the medium. You get to know the medium, the type of videos you're making or articles you're making, the interaction with the audience. It's very easy to get feedback on if they liked it, the kind of share and reach that you get. And when you're trying to do product marketing, that's, you need to hold the product from both ends. So you need to communicate with all of the various elements that develop in the company that develop this product, whether it's data and the product team and everyone else, including the content team. So you need to communicate with all of them, know the situation, and it's so broad because you're basically trying to make products a success. So you need to be able to know where to focus on. So it's not like you have a goal asset that you need to write something, or you have your weekly thing that you publish, but rather you need to understand what is the strategy, what is holding you back, what right now is the best way to kind of reach the next step. So I think it's a lot more agile, and you need to move between hyper-focus, where you do need to kind of produce and you know, develop some sort of marketing material for the product you're developing, and sort of more the big picture, where you're trying to figure out which area to focus, what is the challenge right now, how are you going to fix the problem. So all this in combination with the fact that things happen and you can't predict them, make it very challenging. But it's for me, it's been fun to kind of have a new, different kind of challenge in my life.
Nice. And then kind of as a follow-up to that question, how much do you relate marketing to the idea of sales?
Yeah, I heard about this line, marketing is sales at scale. And in some ways, I think when you're doing sales correctly, and I think there are a lot of similarities. Because you're trying to crack like communication, and how am I going to convey? I know my product is great and it's going to help people out there. How can I create the story that conveys it in a way that's clear? Because people have a short attention span. You know, they don't want to necessarily listen to you. But hopefully you're promoting the product that you're promoting is helpful, and it's something that is useful. Then you need to figure out how you're going to touch people and connect with them. I think sales, it's different. The difference is that for sales, or in general for B2B products, It's more about the one-on-one communication. So you're talking to someone and you're trying to influence them. You're trying to influence a single person. For me, what I love about kind of the more B2C or kind of more of a mass market marketing is that you have an audience. You need to, it's not that clear. You need to figure out, you need to kind of relate and pick up clues. It's a lot more detective work than sales. Sales can talk to someone and that person says, yeah, I liked your product, but this and that. For marketing, you can do the same. You should do the same and talk to customers and get the feedback, but it's not enough, because for the feedback you're going to get, you need to still put on your thinking cap and say, is this feedback right? Am I seeing it enough to see it? This is a trend. This is something I need to deal with and improve in the product, or maybe promote more because it's a valuable feature. So I think that's the difference. And that's why I like marketing, B2C marketing, because I like the psychology side, I think.
Nice. Jonathan?
Yeah, I think some of your adverts were very original, but focused, but they had a lot of reaction. I can't talk. That's a problem for a podcast, isn't it? Listeners of yours. Originality. So some of your YouTube adverts and that, I was watching a couple of the old ones, especially I kind of crafted my own course on the old geezer with the gold hat with the fin. Can you see the similarity, Ben? I think you can, can't you? Who thought those up? Was that done in the house, or did you hire an agency to help you do those?
This was actually done in house. So this was a nice project. I wasn't the mastermind for this one.
Oh, but that's a shame. Yeah. Well, I was going to talk to the boss because I really liked that.
I really liked it, and I think I always liked theater and the improvisation. I even did a bit of it, and I think that's it's fun if you can incorporate a bit of humor and a bit of fun in what you do. I certainly like it, and I hope I continue to do that.
Any idea why so much WordPress advertising is so extremely boring, though?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It is a total yawn fest, most of it, isn't it?
I think there are certain figures in WordPress that are out there that are the complete opposite. A lot of the podcasters and Matt from the Matt Report,
Matt
Medeiros, yeah, and a lot of the figures are and Bridget, a lot of the figures are colorful, and I think they bring a lot of something different to WordPress, because because it's more developer oriented and it gets kind of a serious mode. But I think in the past few years, WordPress has incorporated slowly more of the fun and more engaging.
I totally disagree. I think it's getting more dire myself, more on message. What I liked about Elementor, I always saw you as the kind of the pirates of WordPress, either way.
I follow different companies, and the companies that are able to produce things that are more fun and humorous, like Wistia and Drift. I think it's it, It's not something you can definitely measure, but I think it definitely promotes sort of a love for the brand. So I it gives motivation for the people doing it. So I think it's definitely something that needs to be done.
Back over to you, Kurt.
Well, I think we'll jump into the AI portion of the show, but this time we've got someone with real chops in AI. So what can you tell us about how Elementor is integrating AI? And you've already mentioned an image optimizer three times in the show that I can count. So this is the chance, man. Tell us all about it and what you guys are moving forward with.
Yeah, well, I have to say that you need to have the head of this operation to really give you the most updated thing. But we've integrated AI in a few different places. So first of all, the obvious ones, when you generate images for your site or when you need to generate text for titles and descriptions and the lot. Also, when you need to sort of hank around with the CSS and the code. So I actually used it when I built my site just to have something small. If you're not a CSS guru or you know, when you'll write the CSS, you'll make a mistake with the column. So I found that helpful. But the real next generation is the building part. So when you're building a container or a section, or, you know, as we develop a page and a website that's not far away, we already see that there is a need for it in the market. But I think it's a tricky place. Why? Because there's a need in the market and immediately there is someone that fills it. But the technology that fills it not necessarily is developed. It gives you the right solution. So people use it and they fail because it's still not there. It still takes a few. So I think that the way that Elementor is doing it, where it's sort of slowly, gradually going, adding layers for it. So now we added the copilot that when you build a section, it kind of can predict the next section that you might want. And build it for you. Or if you have sort of an inspiration, like you want to have a certain section that you have on another site, you want to have it on this site. So you put the URL, it generates the same section. I think that this is how we're going about it. And I don't think you need to jump the gun. I think you need to slowly, if you're a professional and you want to start integrating AI, I think the right way is to start using it for, you know, in the build process and see how it helps you.
Yeah, I've played with a few AI tools, and Jonathan and I did a show where we reviewed, it was 18 or 21 different AI tools. That was a good show. But I think you kind of touched on a point there. It's like the rush to AI and the rush to label everything as AI. I mean, it's filled my inbox with spam. I can't even review any of the products in my inbox anymore. I mean, there's just so much. And so trying to elevate yourself, or to your position, market yourself, you know, as an expert that has the right tool at the right time for the right avatar, the right people, must be an extraordinary challenge.
Yeah, because the problem is that the need arises for the wrong people. I don't know if it's the right thing to say, but
well, that was the right thing to say.
It's the same when I was using, it's not good news, but it's the same when I was using the AI writing tool. Okay, so when you're a writer and you're using it, You're able to, like, I use ChatGPT, like, you know, every day for research, for writing, for TED. It just makes it faster. So if you're, and that's one of my skills is writing. It's what I do best. So if it's one of the things you do best, it's going to help you. That's the truth. Like, if you're if you know the trade, you know how to plan a page. You know when a page is right and when it's wrong, when it looks, when it conveys what the professional what the business does. When you have that eye, then you can use. It'll be easy for you to use AI because AI will produce something. You'll know if it needs some tweaking, but the need is more strong with the newbie, with the person that doesn't have a clue how to build the page. They want AI to help them. But unfortunately, the people who will win the most with this AI, I believe, are the people who have this sort of eye for how websites should be built. And it's not different than it was like 8 years ago when I started. Like the professional companies, they're able to produce, or individuals or freelancers, they're able to produce websites that you can instantly say, this is good. This is showing the business in a way that's respectable and branding wise, it's doing a good job. And that hasn't been solved yet by AI.
Yeah, I think we're kind of similar in that kind of page there, Ben. I feel the same, that there's going to be such a proliferation of AI and AI content that there's going to be an elevated need for that human touch, right? For an expert to come in and go, no, this needs reformatted, or this needs re-edited, or this needs drilled down. Because the more AI trains itself on AI-generated content, I think the more muddied it might get. So I think the human perspective is really going to be a high value for those that really train themselves up on it.
It's a good opportunity for people who are, like you said, who are skilled. And for the less skilled one, I'm afraid it's not good news.
It's not good news. Well, Jonathan, with that pessimism, I'll pass it over to you.
Yeah, I've got a kind of off-script question. So what's the internal discussion in Elementor about Gutenberg? You know, you're in the WordPress community, you're there, you got 10%, yet you got this juggernaut, or this attempted juggernaut of Gutenberg, haven't you? Which you're part of WordPress, but you're not part of the Gutenberg juggernaut, are you? But you're still running 10%. I don't know if it's growing. I'm sure you're not going to tell me. But how do you? It must be ongoing. How do you see yourself as part of WordPress, but also part outside of this Gutenberg thing?
Well, you know, we now have Miriam Schwab. I don't know if you had her in your show, which is she now is head of WordPress at Elementor. So we totally understand it's part of our vision to promote and to develop WordPress. We have core contributors, like a developer that is a core contributor to WordPress, and a few people in the company contribute regularly to WordPress. And we see it as part of our mission. And we also see it. We see that Elementor is driving people that would have gone to Wix or another solution. They're choosing WordPress because they know they have a way to build that's easy and scalable. And I think it's much clearer now, this understanding that it's really a win-win. Like we're in this together, it's a mutual vision to build the best platform for WordPress. So we are, you know, in it to win it and with WordPress. That's how we see it. And Gutenberg offers, like people who use it. I mean, yeah, it's also great because it improves WordPress and people have the option.
Yeah, I suppose you got to accept it, haven't you? You got to accept that Elementor and its founders and backers would love every WordPress website to use Elementor, but that's not reality, is it? You're always going to have competition, aren't you? You're always going to.
I'm not sure because I can definitely see a website that uses Elementor for their pages, their services page, their landing pages, and uses Gutenberg maybe for writing their blog posts or something different. I don't know, a combination of those things. So I'm not entirely sure it's something we need to think about.
Yep. Back over to you, Kurt.
Well, I think I get the pleasure of the last question, and that's if you had your own time machine, H.G. Wells or thinking about Doctor Who, and you could go back to the beginning of your career, what advice would you give yourself, Ben?
Wow, I think I'll have an answer here that is not common. And I think this came with maturity and with age. I think when you're working in startups and in high tech and or building a business, it's a lot of stress, a lot of overwhelm, and I think and a lot of tasks and your schedule is easily full. And I think what I learned is the importance of attending to the emotional side and attending to how you're feeling. And really learning how to deal with your emotions. So we talked a few minutes ago about the fact that maybe WordPress is more developer oriented and more gray in that area. And I think that's a big change that maybe can bring a more live spirit and humor to WordPress, is the understanding of the need to kind of think of the more emotional side, give yourself time to think, to plan. So I think these two things is to attend your emotions and to give time to kind of plan and really think about what you are doing.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. You know, if we all took a little more time to adapt ourselves, how much better off would we all be, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Jonathan?
All right, Ben, I think I'm going to wrap it up. So what's the best way for people to find out more about you, your thoughts, and what you're up to, Ben?
Well, I haven't lately, but I will get back to writing on LinkedIn, so they can follow me, Ben Pines at LinkedIn. And also they can follow the Elementor blog. We are going to open a Discord for Elementor. So, that's exciting. So you'll also be able to find me there.
All right. So I look forward to that. We're going to wrap it up, folks. It's been a fabulous discussion. We'll be back. I think next week is our round table show. That should be a laugh. We've got some great guests going to join us on that. If you want to support the show, do share it on your social media platforms. That's the best way to get more listeners, which we have achieved recently. We'll be back next week. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.